Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black. And in the showcase today, we're delighted to welcome the Carolina Center for Public Service and its executive director, Dr. Lynn Blanchard. And with Lynn is a program officer, Ryan Nielsen. Welcome. And a Bonner leader. And if you don't know what a Bonner leader is, we're going to find out all about that program, Ed Diaz. Welcome, all of you.
Thanks. Good
Thanks
to be here,
us.
Fred.
And I know that you've been doing this a while, Lynn, and it's just come amazingly well over the years in building into a nationally recognized public service program. But basically, what is it you're trying to accomplish at the center?
Well, we talk at the center about our role is to connect the energy and expertise of the university to the needs of the community. And we do that in a wide variety of ways through programs and other activities. And today, in particular, and probably our signature programs, we talk a lot about our student programs and trying to both support students in the efforts that they choose to do in terms of community service, but also develop opportunities for them to really enhance their skills and abilities in that area.
Well, that's a great thing, because you can remember back in the 90s when there was a lot of town gown conflict. And everybody didn't seem to recognize the value that each was bringing to the other. And I think it was Chancellor Hooker who put together a document that showed what the university was doing in the community. And I remember there were gasps. I didn't know that. And one of the ones that I thought was funny was the blue fire truck that they had just bought. And the town was using, because we'd gotten a new deck. You remember that story?
I do remember. I will tell you that it was Chancellor Hooker who actually, it grew out of a task force, an intellectual climate task force, that the center was created.
And you are its only director.
Well, no, there was one director for several years before I came, and then I came in 2002. As the center was opened, it was the same week that Hurricane Floyd hit North Carolina.
Those were tough
times.
That was
the first work of the center. And I think they used a tagline that still would do us well today, and that's serving those who serve. And as a center for public service, we really, in some ways, look inwardly to promote those within the university who are doing the service outside our walls.
Well, let me tell you, I have done almost 40 interviews since July for this nonprofit showcase. And in almost every case, the executive director or board members will say that their mission would not be as successful if it wasn't for UNC student volunteers, faculty support, staff support, in all ways. I mean, everything from the Rape Crisis Center to Table. Just did an interview with the Refugee Support Center, and they're talking about the wonderful language skills that student volunteers bring because they need translators. And we have Ed here, who is a student. How did you hear about this program? And you're a senior, right?
I am a senior, yes, indeed.
So how did you hear about this? So you just walked by and somebody said?
No, it actually turns out my roommate, who's been a good friend of mine, actually found out about Apple specifically, which is a program under the Carolina Center for Public
Service. What does Apple stand for?
Assisting people in providing learning experiences and service. But we've actually stopped using that.
So you're like AARP. You don't spell it all out.
We've taken away the periods and just
yeah, it's apples. And everybody knows around town what apples is about.
Yeah, but I did a lot of community service in high school, and I was kind of looking for an outlet to keep doing that when I came to UNC. And Apples was my first introduction to.
And what did you do first?
So the first thing I did with Apples was a service learning initiative, which is kind of a program that allows first years to move in early and kind of engage with the community partners around the Chapel Hill Carborough area and do 2 or 3 days of like direct service with these organizations.
Uh-huh.
Applications open now if any incoming first years are
yeah,
listening.
And you get to move in early, right?
Yeah, you get to move in early.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, as you are involved with Apples, what do you find motivates students to want to do exactly what Ed's talking about? What's the thing that's happening?
I actually think, I don't know if it's part of the admissions process explicitly, but I find that a lot of students come pretty motivated to, when they come to Carolina, they want to be involved in communities.
Be a part of a
community. They want to get off campus. They want to be plugged in with good social change work that different nonprofits are working with. And I see our role as helping them figure out how to do that effectively and thoughtfully and when possible to connect that into their reason for being in Chapel Hill as mm-hmm. students. How do they connect that with their academic work?
And you have a menu of organizations that you can connect students to based on their interests.
Yeah, and programs, some programs partner more with other with some organizations than others.
And can relate to their academic major, I guess, too, or their academic interests overall.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I was talking to a student who was doing something with the community garden because they'd grown up on a farm and they wanted to help in that way. So I think that is kind of a great linkage. But what about the Bonner program? You have that distinction. What is that about, Ed?
Yeah, so the Bonner program is a unique program. So it's based out of the Campus Y, which if you haven't heard of it, it's a building on UNC's campus, the big pink building in the middle of campus, and it's the Center for Social Justice. And they do a lot of advocacy work, and there's a lot of programs based within the Campus Y, fighting environmental justice, food justice, racial justice, a lot of those kind of things that are relevant today. And the Bonner program is one facet of the Campus Y, and it's a four-year scholarship program that allows students to spend 4 years working directly with a nonprofit in the Chapel Hill Carborough area. And so we have a cohort of about 50 students right now, and you stay through it for
all 4 years.
Yeah, across all 4 years is 50, so about 12 to 13 mm-hmm. per year. And they stick with their community partner for the course of the 4 years and gain a lot of experience doing direct service, but a lot of them do a lot of organizational service and even up to doing policy.
And who are you
work.
Working with?
So I spend a lot of my time working with the Hargraves Community Center.
With Nate Davis.
Yeah, right, based in the Northside District.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Hargraves Community Center does a lot, but what I specifically did was after-school program for elementary school students. And we did a lot of tutoring and mentoring work, primarily with children of color and low-income families. And so I spent a lot of my time working with these children 2 to 3 times a week doing tutoring, but also not just tutoring, but kind of building mentoring and mentorship. So playing a lot of basketball, losing a lot in knockout against these kids. But
but I'll bet anything that the kids look up to you and say, I want to do what he's doing one day and go to college and be a Tar Heel and celebrate a national championship.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully you can see. There's a lot of Duke fans in there too, but we let that slide.
Okay.
But yeah, that's,
well, you're pretty broad-minded.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the goal. We want to, help these kids excel in class because a lot of times this program is for a lot of these students the only time they have to actually work on this homework.
Well, hold that homework thought, and we'll be right back after we take a very short break. And this is Nonprofit Showcase, and we're talking with Carolina Center for Public Service. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase. This is your host, Fred Black, WCHL 97.9, and we're with the Carolina Center for Public Service. And Ed Diaz, who is a senior and a Bonner leader, was just talking about that program. Would you finish that thought that you were going to explain to us?
Yeah, I was just talking about how with a lot of these programs, the ones that I've worked with specifically doing a lot of tutoring work, it's the only opportunity that a lot of times these students have to work on homework and schoolwork because their home life might
not be conducive.
Exactly. So that's why the work that we do is pretty important. But a lot of Bonners in the program that I work with do a variety of things, not just tutoring and mentoring. A lot of them work with organizations like Table doing food justice work mm-hmm. and organizing. A lot of them do with Blue Ribbon and
mentoring,
Scale
yeah.
and doing a lot of mentoring as well.
Separate
Farmer
Food
Share and Carborough.
Share.
Exactly. So there's a lot of the diverse groups and issues that the Bonners are working on, and I think it's pretty important. And it's interesting to see that a lot of these organizations that we work with are actually a lot of the community partners that the Center for Public Service also partners with.
So
as well.
That's the tie-in. And Ryan, what's the academic component of this?
Yeah, so I guess we have academic components in both APPLES and BPSS, the Buckley Public Service Scholars Program. But when we say Buckley Public Service Scholars, it's actually an academic distinction that students pursue. It's a way that students formalize all of the role that service plays in their undergraduate experience.
And you get a notation on your diploma,
you get a notation
right?
on your transcript, and you have a special cord that you wear at graduation. It's the only Carolina blue and white cord that you'll see graduates walk
How
around
cool
with.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's kind of compelling. So what students basically do is they decide that they want to pursue that distinction and they enroll, and we give them, we describe it as a framework for public service, so that we give them kind of a blank slate for an e-portfolio, and they begin to log all of their service projects, their academic service learning courses that they take, their non-academic skills trainings, and they may be bonders. So a lot of bonders would be in BPSS, and they would log all of their work with the bonder and the Buckley portfolio.
So it all ties together.
Yeah, yeah. But they may also
So how many students are doing this?
It's a lot. It's typically about 10% of the undergraduate population at Carolina that will enroll. That we may have just under 2,000 people right now, I believe.
And you keep track of all that?
We keep track. It's great because they're building these portfolios, and they're also telling us a lot about what they do.
And so you're getting feedback, and you can
They're telling us
the
about
loop.
Who they work with, how much. So I can tell you, you know, in the last academic year, 2015 to 2016, students in the Buckley Public Service Scholars Program logged 8,818 projects. It totaled over 161,000 hours, and 39% of those projects were in Orange County, if that gives you a point of reference for what that means to local nonprofits.
Right. Well, we know they couldn't afford to buy those services because they don't have that kind of money, and so volunteerism is the mother's milk of our nonprofit world. So.
Yeah, and hopefully we're not just encouraging students to get out there and sort of connect and work, but hopefully encouraging them to become more effective at what they do. So we organize about 38 in this past academic year skills trainings, and we have over 1,300 log that students are showing up. They're trying to learn a little bit more about financial management or effective communication, grant writing, and then hopefully they're bringing those skills to their community partners.
And it has career decision implications too. And I'll just drop a name here because I knew her as a student, and then she went on to do this as a graduate, Maggie West at Community Empowerment Foundation. And
who was a Buckley Public Service
She
fellow.
Mentioned that, and of course she met her husband volunteering, and he's over at the Jackson Center. And Maggie said she was going off to do something else until this bug bit her, and she saw that this student organization could grow into something much, much bigger. And now they're a 501c3.
Well, and Fred, I think one thing, too, that the center and Campus Y, and I think other part of the real, if you will, philosophy or sort of principles of the work that I think most Carolina students do is that we want to do it in partnership. This isn't something that we want to go in and say, we know what you need and we're here to fix it.
So it's an accompaniment model.
And so as a result, all those nonprofit agencies and their staffs are really contributing to the education of the students as well. And I think we hear a lot about how much the students learn from their community partners and placements that they don't necessarily learn in the classroom, or that they may apply something. It may be an example of what they learn. So, you know, we never look on this as a one-way street.
Right.
We really see it very much as a reciprocal partnership between Carolina and Carolina students or faculty and the communities that where they're serving.
Mm-hmm. Stroud Roses, you know, I'm on their board, and we celebrated our 15th anniversary, and we had three Apple students who were working with us to help develop the media strategy, and they assisted with the actual program, and it was just wonderful to see their participation make a difference.
You may also remember, although I think it may have been before your tenure as a board member, that Stroud Roses funded our a graduate student for us to develop the Buckley Public Service Scholars Program.
Yeah, and that was at the very beginning.
At the very beginning, it grew from 75 students to now almost 2,000.
Yeah. It's all coming together.
Yeah, and it and I think that says something about this community. And I think you would agree with me, Lynn, that town-gown relations are better than they've ever been, and I think the nonprofits have made a real impact on that.
You know, I think most of us see our work as very relationship-based, as do the nonprofits, and I think through working together on issues of common interest, you can't help but be able to deal with problems more effectively as well.
And talking to Dolores Bailey at Empowerment, and the programs that they have been involved with for Northside residents. And as that community's gotten more and more students, many of whom are the volunteers who are helping to make these programs work.
Yeah, we have some Bonners at Empowerment as well.
Yeah, and communicating.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, that speaker blaring at 10:30 on Thursday night and Mrs. Jones is 88 years old next door, maybe that's not the way we want to do this. So let's communicate about that. More than just calling the police and, you know, let's have neighborhood conversations. And you mentioned that you have various volunteers working all over the community. What opportunity is there to come back together and share what you've learned?
Specifically through the Bonner program?
No, for all
just
of
in
your
general?
Program. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I can speak to the Bonner program. We have weekly meetings, so we always come back and we discuss the issues that we're dealing with and kind of have similar skills trainings. And I think those
get tips and advice.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the skills trainings that Ryan was talking about that BPSS focuses on and that Bonner program hosts as well allow you to kind of take the information that you've gathered from working with your community partner and kind of synthesize that into the broader picture and how can we take what we've learned
and use it
to make real change, and what grants can we apply for, what policies can we fight for.
Yeah, well, we're going to come right back again after we take a short break, and this is Nonprofit Showcase. Okay, well, welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with the Carolina Center for Public Service, and we were just talking to Ed Diaz, who is a senior, thinking about graduating in a few weeks, and you were talking about sharing. And can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, I think we were talking about sharing ideas and sharing the knowledge and the skills that you get from working with the community partner. And I think that something the Bonner program focuses on is self-reflection and kind of group reflection, because I think that's an integral part of service as
Makes
well.
Makes the difference. Yeah.
Right, right. And kind of like taking everything that you've learned and kind of synthesizing that for yourself really helps you to take the next steps and kind of gather your thoughts and see where you can move on. And I know that the center and the Apples program also focus a lot on reflection that I think Ryan can attest to as well.
Yeah, Ryan, how does that work with your programs?
Yeah, they often say the dash in between service and learning, it means reflection. If the reflection's
I like
not
that.
There.
That's good.
If the reflection's not there, it's not service learning. So all of our Apples courses, our alternative breaks, our internships, we really want to see that prioritized. And particularly with Apples, it's reflecting on how the academic course content that you're studying really relates to your experiences, your direct firsthand experiences in the field, and how those sort of reinforce one another, and also how it connects to your
personal development. And you have formal mechanisms for feedback from students and consumers of the student services?
Yeah, it should be an assignment and on a syllabus for a service learning course. Within the Buckley Public Service Scholars Program, we really focus the reflection toward the end, where students look back and synthesize a lot of, you know, what does this all add up to? What does this mean? And sometimes it's the only place that they really do that explicitly, where they're bringing together the various threads of their hospital volunteering and their summer internship and their academic service learning courses.
See the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Lynn, how can people contact you if they want to?
Well, we would be happy to. Let me get out first our email address, which is ccps@unc.edu, Carolina Center for Public Service at unc.edu. And if folks wanted to write us there, we'll get your email to the right place or your request. And one of the things we have is a weekly listserv with more than 5,000 folks on that listserv. And you can submit an announcement to that through our website, which is ccps.unc.edu.
And you can just put it in Google and it'll pop to
you. You can just submit your announcement, which will come out in our weekly listserv, and folks can contact you about how they can help.
And they can request services from you through same mechanism.
We don't do any direct, as much as the direct matching. What we do is broadcast the opportunities, and what we find is that then folks respond to those.
Yeah, and we've got a pretty healthy number of nonprofits in this community, most of whom know you and know the students and what they're doing.
And I think importantly, you know, we certainly represent some of the major programs and efforts, but if you look at the total numbers, there are many, many more students and faculty who are doing things as well, and we try and find out about those and keep up with them. But I think it just all underscores what we used to say is the center, we're fulfilling the promise of the first public university.
And the public is the right. emphasis and service is the way you do it.
And now we think about connecting Carolina and community.
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful program. And, you know, like I say, every executive director that I speak to lauds what the students are doing. And they're just so appreciative that this is a great resource that everybody in the world doesn't have. So I want to thank you all for being with us today on Nonprofit Showcase and wish you the best of luck. And Ed, whatever the future holds, we wish you luck.
Let him say. Med school?
Oh, yeah, I'll be going to med school here.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. And this is Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black.